Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there. Thanks for joining me and Dr. Alice Benton here on New Life Live today. And if you want to join us, if you want to talk on the radio with us, we'll give you the best shot we have. Biblical wisdom, psychological insight, all those kinds of things. 1-800-229-3000. That is the phone number. 1-800-229-3000. Alice, how are you today?
Got a spring in my step, Steve. How about you?
I am doing well. I was talking to some folks yesterday about wisdom and how wisdom isn't enough. You know, we've seen some very, very smart people, wise people, brilliant people in the faith fall. And so we have to say, well, that must not be enough. Mm-hmm. When you think of King David, oftentimes we think, wow, why does the Bible say he was after God's own heart when he had this affair with Bathsheba? That just doesn't make any sense. Well, it actually does make sense. When you read what happened to his son, Solomon, who had 700 wives and 300 concubines. I wonder if 1,000 was his goal, if that's what he was going for. Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, here he was. We all know Solomon. We think about this wise man. He has this don't split the baby thing, mm-hmm. or, you know, says and finds out who the real mother is. But one of the horrible things about his life is, it says at the end of his life, the wives that God told him not to marry turned his heart against God. And this brilliant man was worshiping idols and false gods at the end of his life. And it says this, unlike his father, who worshiped God and believed in God to the very end of his life. So David is a guy that was after God's own heart. He messed up like a lot of us do. But that didn't mean his whole life was messed up. But sadly for Solomon, the end of his life was a horrible, horrible way to end, proving you can be the smartest person in the world and really mess up your life because of influence, the influence of his wives. But it could be the influence of your roommates, your buddies. Anybody can influence even the most brilliant people to do some of the worst things ever.
And David was always willing to receive negative feedback about himself.
Yeah.
So that he had the humility to know he still had the great potential to sin, no matter how much wisdom God gave him. And he leaned into God, often asking for God's direction in his life. And if we get too high up on our horse, we lose sight of the power of our inadequacy. Our inadequacy is something to be embraced in a way, because mm-hmm. it keeps us depending on God and other people around us.
It's so true. But what you say about David being willing to receive negative things, I mean, that is one of the big problems that people get into, is you stop being willing to hear the truth about yourself. And when Jonathan came to him, he had no problem finally seeing what Jonathan was saying. Wow, I am that man. I have taken something that is so loved. I had access to many of these, took the one. And destroyed not only the life of that marriage, but the life of the husband that I essentially had him murdered.
Yes.
Well, here's the point. You can go down, no matter what you've done, as a person after God's own heart. You can go down as a person who finished really well, no matter what you've been through, it's not too late. We want to help you do that. You can do it by calling us at 1-800-229-3000. Dr. Alice Benton, Steve Arterburn here. We'll do the best that we can to give you the best help possible. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. And let's go to our phones, 1-800-229-3000, and let's talk to Brenda. She's calling from Pottstown, Pennsylvania. WBYN is the station. Hi there, how are you today?
Oh, I'm so delighted to get to talk to you. Thank you so very much.
Sure.
I'm calling because I was listening yesterday when Gentleman Everett called in, and he was grieving the loss of his, the death of his wife of 50 years. I wanted to say to him that we only grieve those who mattered to us. Mm-hmm. We're all experiencing that with the loss of Dr. David Stoop. Mm-hmm. We grieve his loss because he contributed so much positivity to our lives in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. Right now I'm missing him because I need him to articulate what I want to say to Everett about grief. Everett is grieving and crying over the loss of his wife, but each tear is really a tribute to what she meant to him, and he could look at it as thanking God for the 50 years of blessing that he had, and that's why he missed her. I think, you know, the other side of that coin, you know, you were just talking about finishing well is a choice. Well, Everett's wife and Dr. Stoop both chose to finish well because they were faithful to the end. But if you look at it for this week, Judas chose not to finish well.
Right.
In Second Chronicles, I think it's chapter 21, King Jehoshaphat dies at the end of, I think it's chapter 20, and the next chapter, his son is Jehoram takes over. And he's so evil. He kills all of his brothers, and he kills the religious leaders, anyone who could be a rival to him.
And right. Now, Kay, let me ask you a question. I'm sorry, Brenda, let me ask you a question. What did you like best about Dr. Stoop?
Oh, there is this gentle wisdom that came out of his own experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And his life experiences and the difficulties, and so we knew that he made the connection biblically to how do you deal with these horrible challenges we have to face, like the issues he talked about with his son and the different things, and so I have a difficulty in my life. I had horrible marriage, and when I finally divorced him, he continued to do all sorts of evil things, and it's still ongoing, you know. And I got all three of the children through school. He wouldn't pay child support costs, all that stoff. And
Dr. Stoop helped you with that?
Graduation, yes, he helped me to forgive.
There you go.
Because at the end of the last graduation, all three of the daughters turned their back on me and went off with their father.
No.
I don't get to see my grandchildren. All sorts of things.
Well, Brenda, let me.
But Dr. Stoop helped me with that, and I can forgive because there is a poem: "Jesus Christ washed the feet of Judas." And I think of the things that Dr. Stoop did for helping me. Coping with that, forgiving the things you can't forget.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, Brenda, let me. I wish I had more time here, and I really appreciate the things that you've said about Dr. Stoop. I'm gonna send you something. We don't have a lot of these around here, but you know, Dave and I produced what was called the Spiritual Renewal Bible in 1999. It's actually still in print, but it was Bible of the Year, and that wasn't because of me. That was because of Dave's wisdom and brilliance. It's just a great, great study Bible resource. Bible of the Year is not a small thing to achieve in the Christian publishing world, and he did that, and I'll send it to you. But I would say this, Alice, that Brenda mentioned the thing that I think Dave helped so many people with, and that is forgiveness. And I really believe, I've said this before, that when he entered into heaven, people came up to him and said, I wouldn't have been here if you had not helped me resolve the problem I had with my father that so impacted my relationship with my heavenly father. I really believe with all my heart that that has been or was the experience when he got there. That's what people did.
Dave helped us to realize how much forgiveness sets us free when we think it's an undeserved blessing onto the perpetrator who sometimes is still perpetrating.
Yeah.
But really, he shows us that it serves us to forgive. We're proud of you, Brenda, and we'll be praying for you in the disconnect from your daughters.
Mm-hmm. I think you'll love that Bible. We have a lot of different Bibles for you, you know, and Every Man's Bible for Men, Life Recovery Bible is really for everybody. There's the Great Bible, the Transformation Bible is a good one. So many different things we have here that could help you move on and find that place called better. Let's go to Marge. Manchester is where she's calling from. Marge, how are you today? What's going on?
Hiya. Hey, I'm good. I'm very good.
Good.
I had a question about my son.
Okay.
He's had a relationship with a nice girl for about 3 years now. And they are going to break up, or they are breaking up. She wants to get married and have kids, and he's afraid that it won't work because of their opposing philosophies. He's a conservative, and she's a liberal. And I'm wondering if there's any help for them to try and bridge a gap here.
So is he doing this based on liberal conservatism, or he's a believer and this girlfriend isn't a believer?
Well, he comes from a Christian background. I really don't know what her background is. He's not a practicing Christian, but I know he has somewhat of a spiritual connection with God.
Yeah.
I think the political views is a major problem, and she seems to be unwilling to even try and figure out what he believes in.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay,
she won't look at an opposing side.
Let's see what Alice is thinking here about this and you and them.
Marge, okay. What gives you the urge to try to slow down or stop their breakup? Why do you wish they would stay together?
Well, my son is 40. He's been through this will be the third kind of serious relationship. I think they're a good match. I like her a lot. I think she's good for him, and I just think it's probably, I'd like to see them maybe put some work into it and try and put it together.
Why do you think that a woman who doesn't want to understand why your son thinks what he does, doesn't want to lean into his perspective and his strong beliefs, why do you think that would be a good thing for him in the long run?
I guess when it's put that way, I guess it wouldn't be. You know, I just had high hopes for the relationship.
And so how do you think you would feel and think when your son does break up with her, if he follows through with that?
Well, I certainly would support him because he knows his relationship best with her, and I wouldn't interfere with that in any way.
My sense on this limited information, Marge, is that your son is probably making a wise choice for himself.
And that's what I was thinking.
It's sad, and because of his age, you might be worried, will he find anyone else? But a man with that kind of discernment and wisdom, and he's not going to run headlong into this relationship when there's what I would call a pretty glaring problem, that's a good sign of your son's character. So I ask you, encourage you, grieve this loss that you're losing a potential daughter-in-law. and put your hope in the future.
Yeah.
Well, and let me just say this. You know, the Bible tells us to leave mom and cleave to the other person, and so it's hard to do that if mom gets too involved. And in this case, I really believe what Alice is saying is true. You know, marriage is hard enough, much less if you're opposing each other at every point. And so what can be done about this? I just think support your son. He's wise. Don't support him with, well, I think you ought to stay together, but I'll pray it'll work. No, but just really honor the judgment that he has. Far too many people are getting married because they don't want to find somebody else. They're just going to go with what they have and wish for the best, hope it all works out, and it doesn't just all work out.
Fear that there's not something better out there is not a good motivation to stay in a relationship,
really,
but so many of us do.
Yeah, and then, you know, if he's got some kind of aversion to commitment because this is the third great relationship or something, well, that's another issue to be dealing with there. All right, I'm glad you called, and let me send you a book for him called Is This the One? I hope that that could be helpful to him. Jessica, Phoenix, Arizona. How are you today, and how could we help you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Well, I just have a question about my marriage, I guess. I've had kind of 12 years of just unhealthy fighting, and I've since given him the ultimatum of counseling or splitting up.
What are you fighting over?
Anything and everything. It's just the dumbest things, sometimes big, sometimes small. But it's just always a struggle, like we're always fighting against each other instead of for each other.
Mm-hmm.
Fighting to stay together rather than fighting for our actual relationship.
Now, you mentioned gaslighting. What's that, the gaslighting? You just said that or in passing. What is that about?
It's a form of emotional abuse that, in summary, leads...
I know what gaslighting is. I wanted to know what that's about in your marriage.
Okay, I just constantly feel like I'm in the wrong, like I'm crazy, like maybe, I stirred that up, or I misinterpreted this situation, and I just always feel like it's me, but it never feels right.
Jessica,
I'm wrong,
Jessica,
I can admit, and like, okay,
Jessica,
I'm right.
Do you stir up arguments sometimes between you two? Do you sometimes initiate?
Sometimes I do get frustrated, with a lot of things. I feel like I'm being, neglected or not cared about or not listened to.
And what are the other ways your husband has hurt you in addition to all the arguments? The big ways he's hurt you?
There's just kind of been a lot of betrayal over the years. Nothing, not a, like full-on affair or anything like that, but just other talking with an ex, saying how much he missed them early in our relationship, pornography, kind of leaving me in the dust type of thing.
Is he still engaging in that?
A lot of lies.
Is he still engaging, or has he repented?
I think he's repented.
What makes you think that?
But it was very hurtful. He took the lock off of his phone, a couple of years ago, and lets me use it if I need to and doesn't get weird about it. So,
And has he gotten into recovery as well?
What do you mean by that?
Has he gotten any structured help for his dishonesty and
betrayal?
No. And when you brought up
That's
counseling...
That's our problem with kind of everything.
When you brought up counseling, what was his response?
Counseling is stupid. I don't need that. I can fix this on my own.
Okay, and what's your question for us as we go to a break in a moment?
Is it unreasonable to give him the ultimatum for counseling or divorce?
Well, we're going to talk about this after the break. We'll give you an answer to that and some other additional structure and some help going forward. This is tough. This is painful, and it's been drawn out for such a long time, 12 years, too long.
All right. Glad you called. We'll help you right after this. You're listening to New Life Live.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Talking to Jessica, and the question she left us with is, should I say it's either counseling or divorce? I'm going to let Alice handle that. But the first thing I'm going to say, Jessica, the pornography, you know, there are all these studies of what it does, and it certainly does take a man from being able to honor a woman to just seeing her as an object or inferior or not having the same kind of rights that he does. And I think that's some of the stuff that's showing up here, is what we call the pornified man and how he relates to a woman. And that is really, really sad. And absolutely, he needs to be getting some help to deal with that. Alice, what do you think about the ultimatum that she's prepared to throw down here?
Jessica, it certainly makes sense. His behavior has been so painful, and even his apparent step away from pornography or talking with other women, even that's confusing, because he'll do part of the effort to repair a relationship, but he won't do the bulk of it, which would be attending therapy. So I can understand that you set divorce out there. We think that there are some other attempts to make before going the route of divorce. Let me ask there, do you two have children together?
Yeah, we have two.
And how young are they?
Almost 5 and almost 2.
Oh, what an awful decision for you to have to make, how much you need to protect your children from what's going on and all the arguments. Jessica, have you been getting your own counseling?
I have, yeah. I have a lot of past trauma that never really healed from a previous relationship. And then, you know, I get into this one, and then, you know, I can't really heal when things keep getting added to it. But
and are you strategizing? Yeah, are you strategizing with your therapist anything that's within your power to do differently to help the situation at home, even though your husband may have majority fault?
Yeah. I've been doing a lot of different things, trying to notice when it's gaslighting so I can back off instead of fueling the fire and making the fight worse.
Okay, I'm glad you're working on that. I'm going to move us to something else. The ugly truth is that God wants us to do everything possible to avoid a divorce. And sometimes that's an ugly burden to have to bear. Sometimes divorce is the right choice to make. But divorce, in God's eyes, it's always an evil. Sometimes it's the lesser of two evils. And sometimes it's better than staying in an abusive relationship. So he does permit us, but he prefers us not to. And so some options to take before the attempt at a divorce, before using that as an ultimatum, is a different form of separation. And there are levels to this. It may be that you separate from him within the same home, that you ask him to leave the bedroom or you sleep in a different bedroom. It might be that you and the kids go somewhere else for a while. It might be that you pursue a legal separation. But God wants us to take all those steps first before the final step of divorce. And then another one of his principles is to address someone else's sin with a witness. And if there is any man that has influence in your husband's life, if you have not yet tried that, getting a man to speak to your husband and to call him up, that's also something else God wants us to do before we take the route of divorce.
And if your question was kind of a question when you say ultimatum or get counseling or divorce, if it was either he gets counseling or I give up, the answer to that question from my perspective is no. So I don't want you to give up, but I want you to take it to the next level so that he knows that you really are serious about this, that this is what you've seen. These are the evidences that things are not getting better, and they can be. Now, for all you guys that are listening, if you might be in this situation, and well, come on. I mean, he didn't have the affair, and he got off of the pornography. Well, you know, Ephesians 5:21 says for us to submit ourselves to each other. So you have to ask yourself a question when you're defending yourself. Are you submitting yourself to her? Are you dying to your own will? And I know some of you guys are in some really tough situations. It's not always guy's the bad guy, she's the good person. No, some of you are in some impossible situations. And you don't want to be a pleaser, you don't want to be codependent. And sometimes submitting yourself is you getting the help or you learning to persevere rather than lash out in anger or whatever. But here's my point. If we want to be a biblical couple, we're going to be looking out for what is the thing that I could do that would honor God to make it better, not worse. And passivity doesn't make it better. Anger doesn't make it better. Vengeance, retribution. No, but coming to understand each other. And especially if you would be, quote unquote, the healthy one. Because a lot of times the healthier person digs in their heels and they become unhealthy because they're unwilling to do anything other than just be right. Alice, a thought here?
The way we invite people to therapy to join us can either make it very unattractive and even sound like an attack, or we can make it appealing and inviting. So I recommend that the spouse that's motivated to go gives the invitation in this way. I have a part to play in our arguments. I instigate sometimes. I don't always handle myself well. And my therapist and I are inviting you to join so that we can look at what I've been doing wrong in this relationship. With the hope then that that's a springboard to lower the defenses and make the therapy a safe enough place for the perpetrating spouse to join in.
That's what we're hoping for. 1-800-229-3000.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of 7 books, including Growth Has No Boundaries by Drs. John Townsend and Henry Cloud, Take Your Life Back by Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop, and the Emotional Freedom Workbook. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. You know, I think so often you go back to the Bible and you find exactly what you weren't wanting to find. Because often the right thing is the hardest thing. And
yeah.
And it's really tough when you are, quote unquote, you think you're the healthy one. And then, you know, a couple of years of being healthy, you can really get in a rut. You can get arrogant. You can have pride. And that prevents anything from getting better.
You're talking about me again, aren't you?
No, I'm talking about Larry. He's in the studio. And Larry, actually, Larry is a person that is not a person of pride. Hi, welcome.
Hey,
what do you have for us today?
Well, I just came in here thinking, what's our next workshop? It's Every Man's Battle, a week from Saturday, April 10th. But I also wanted to just let our audience know, we've probably mentioned it already, we are going to test the waters with 2 live workshops coming up this summer.
Woohoo!
We're going to do the Restore workshop for the women whose hearts have been betrayed. That's going to be June 25 to 27 in Dallas. And Intimacy in Marriage will be July 23rd to 25th. In Washington, D.C. So we'll be a little slower or deciding anyway about Every Man's Battle Live, because when we do that live, we have two men, we assign men to room with one another. And COVID's not quite there yet for us where we're at in it to be comfortable requiring guys to room together. We think that might affect the attendance. So we'll get there. But I just wanted to share a little bit of a testimony from our online workshop here a few months ago.
Awesome.
2 days before the event, I was getting divorced. I reconciled the day before with my wife. She asked me to go to this event. I did. I shared what I learned with her, including having the support of my small group of brothers in Christ. She is so happy. Thank you for being a part of my divorce reconciliation process. And here's the part I really loved. I will be staying married and being a father to my 6-year-old son and 25-week unborn daughter.
Oh, my goodness.
Now we're talking. Hi. There you go.
I am telling you, folks, if you don't want to support that, I'm not sure you should be listening to this program. I mean, right. Think about it. This is a family that was on the verge of being torn apart. The baby's still unborn, 6-year-old son, and going to this workshop and experiencing God's presence, His Holy Spirit's power, through connecting with other people. Part of our mission is introducing people to redemptive relationships. And that's what happened, and a family is being saved.
So, well, and it's generations to come that are influenced. It's not just a boy that he's going to be father to. It's many grandchildren coming up, and all these different people that are impacted. And that's why we love getting to see somebody turn life completely around.
Right. So, folks, make a gift to New Life, please. Join Club New Life. You know, we've had a little dip in our Club New Life membership because we had to make a transition technically with some processing companies, and we lost about 10% of our Club New Life members. So we need some Club New Life support to get back on top. And if you are a Club New Life member, can you give $5 more a month or $10 or $20 or $50, whatever? If you could just help us restore that dip, we'd really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. And when you join Club New Life, you get the best books in the mail. I just got a new one about breaking habits yesterday. It's quite a bonus.
Yeah, that's what we have for you. We want everybody to have great resources, and we just say thank you by sending you great resources. And so right now, I'll send you Depression, Understanding and Loving a Person with Depression for a gift of any amount. And when you do join Club New Life, we send you a whole library of books that really all have a reason and a purpose to be. I think each one of them will help you. You can find out about that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
And I'll just mention that Toxic Faith is my topic on the 5 p.m. Eastern Time YouTube channel, our YouTube channel, on Toxic Faith. It's a 36-part series that I'm doing, and I have really, really enjoyed doing it. If you want to join us, it's 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the program with Dr. Alice Benton and Steve Arterburn. Right now, we're going to talk to Kay from Wichita, Kansas. Hi, Kay. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Excellent. How could we help?
Well, I know how God looks at divorce, but I wondered how God looks at divorce in your family.
Well, tell us what has brought you to this fabulous place in life. What's going on?
Okay, so I grew up in the Appalachian Mountain area where child sexual abuse is rampant.
Yeah.
To say the least. And I was abused my whole childhood.
Oh, no.
And
who did this abuse?
My mother.
Who abused you?
My mother's brother.
Oh, boy. And did you ever tell your mother?
Yes, she took his side.
I'm so sorry.
So during the court mess of that, because my dad did take him to court, he actually ended up dying in the courtroom, so that was you know, actually kind of good. But and so there was not really any closure with that. But where I'm at this point is that I've tried to have a relationship with my mother just because I felt like I'm supposed to. However, she has a son that is much older than me from a previous relationship. And during that whole mess that I went through, he proceeded to take the tapes and the pictures that my perpetrator had made of me and other little children.
Aww.
And he spread them all over my school and made my life really bad.
Okay. What's the question for us? Because I think we get the picture here. So help us, because I want to give you plenty of time. I want to answer this for you.
Okay. Well, I just had one more point I had to make really quick, though.
All right.
He actually is now about to be prosecuted for child pornography because he got himself in trouble with child pornography now, which isn't really that much of a surprise.
Yeah. Okay.
My mother... him as well.
So your mother what? I didn't get that. It cut out. Your mother what as well?
My mother is defending her son as well.
Okay.
For his sickness.
Yeah, okay. So what is the question for us then?
My question is that is it okay biblically to just completely and totally cut ties with your family because they're toxic to me?
You don't have to say any because on that. We've heard this. If I were you, well, first of all, I wouldn't want to be around my mother at all. But rather than just totally walk away, if I were you, I would do one final thing, and here's what I would do. Because your mom is defending this guy who is essentially guilty of the stuff that happened to you. I mean, it's all horrific, horrific abuse of a child. I would say to you, I would write your mom a letter, and I would say to her, Mom, I don't think you see what you're doing. I don't think you saw or understood what you did to me. You essentially were going to let a guy go free who would have abused somebody else somewhere else if he had been set free because of your backing him. Fortunately, he died. And now you are defending a person who is exploiting children, who has an illness, who is sick, who needs treatment. And you're part of that, Mom, as you defend him. And I'm so sorry for you, and I refuse to be around you until you decide this is the wrong thing for you to be doing. Let me know if you have a change of heart. That's what I would be doing. And I wouldn't hesitate to not be around a mother who has treated you so miserably and essentially set a bunch of kids up to be abused by repeat perpetrators. Alice, what are you thinking?
Okay, we are sickened that your mom is participating in evil and allowing it to be rampant in your family. I have two very unfair, ugly questions that I want you to consider over the break. I want you to think about who hurt your mom so badly, and is there any good in your mom in addition to all this evil participation?
All right, we'll deal with that right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. We hope you hear something, causes you to ask some questions about your own situation.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and Kay called asking if it'd be okay to divorce her family. And then she laid out a scenario that's pretty sad, and Alice has asked her a couple of questions. Is Mom all bad? Is there anything good in her? And Alice, do you take it from here?
What are your answers to that, Kay?
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard to answer those questions because my mother grew up with a mother who was very selfish. My grandmother was a very selfish person. In fact, my grandmother did not support me during that whole mess either. She said that I provoked my sexual abuse.
Kay, there's something more than selfishness that your mom has suffered from. Who abused your mom?
Well, I don't know. I don't know that any abuse when it comes to my mom at all. She never told me anything. I do know that a horrific thing that happened in her life was at my birth, she gave birth to me and my identical twin died.
Oh, my.
Sad.
So your mom has definitely been through trauma, and none of that justifies anything she's doing protecting these perpetrators. None of it. Now I need you to try to think of one good thing about your mom for your sake, Kay, not for hers. Is there anything, small though it may be, redeeming about your mom?
My mother can be a very caring person.
What's one example of how she cared for you?
When I was sick.
Okay. So the reason I ask about that is because if your mom is all bad in your mind, she may be purely evil. But most people have, even those that perpetrate evil, most people have something good, or they were good at one point. And for our own mental health, Kay, for yours, being able to see that there has ever been some good in your mom is important for your recovery. That doesn't mean you should be in touch with her. She doesn't sound like she's safe at all to be in ongoing contact with. But you need that. So I want you to pray and think, asking God that he would reveal any more to you about what has ever been good about your mom and how she has also been hurt. That's for your sake. Now, the other one is, I want to question the decision to divorce. Divorce is so final. So I would ask you instead to separate for now. Because healthy boundaries are always open to the hope of a miracle and the hope of repentance. And it may be that if you address your mom as Steve is advising you to do, it may be that that brings about some repentance in her at some point. And so don't say, I'm done with my mom forever. Say, for now, and for as long as I need to be, but don't make it forever, for your sake.
Okay.
I'm glad you called, and I do think that you need to hear what we're saying here, that this is beyond any kind of normal relationship, that you are entitled to have a boundary against your mother, a sister, a stranger, who would not defend you when there's evidence that you were abused, and especially this thing of taking these videos and spreading them around to other people. That's real to me. That would have turned around almost any mother, would have said, oh, you know what, this is horrible. So I don't know what's going on with your mom and you and how that relates to the death of your identical twin and all of that stuff, but I do know this: God loves you. Matthew 18:10, it says that when all this was going on, your angels were in the presence of God, making sure that you didn't, that all of this wasn't missed by God. God saw it. I believe he wept for it. It's not what he wanted for you, and he wants you to know he loves you and wants to restore you. And he also loves your mom.
I feel very blessed. I have a blessed husband and blessed children. And, I mean, I have a blessed life. I just live 900 miles away from my family, and that's good.
And that's wise.
Yeah. So you should just live in that distance and freedom and enjoy your family. I got to tell you, I just wouldn't want even my children to be around someone that had betrayed me like that. I just wouldn't want it. So just enjoy that great husband of yours and raise your kids. And when your children say, why aren't we around grandmother? You say, well, there are just some problems that she has that it's just not a good time right now to be around her. Maybe one day we will. That's what I'd be saying.
And Steve, part of that leaving the possibility and the opening, I think, is attempting to obey the honoring of our parents. Now, when a parent is victimizing us or allowing it to happen, there must be space, there must be distance for our protection and that of our children. But we also have to consider, God, how do I honor parents that are not doing anything honorable right now? And I think that's why we leave the opening for a possibility down the road.
I just say this. There's only one way to honor dishonorable parents. You do not ever have an obligation to honor dishonorable parents, to pay honor to them if they are evil. But what you can do to honor them is to become something that those parents could never help you become. That's the honor. But it's not honoring them. You're not attributing your goodness and your character to them. But as you grow up and mature and become something that, boy, they sure weren't and they couldn't have, that's a real honor to them. You bless their life in that way without acknowledging or blessing or honoring anything that they have ever done. I'm glad that you called, and I will. I'll just send you a copy of Dr. Dave Stoops' book. We miss him greatly. Forgiving What You'll Never Forget, and it'll be on its way to you. Anybody else? I got to tell you, that book has helped so many people to get over, to get through it, to get beyond things that maybe you've been struggling with for a long time. It really can help you find within your heart to do what is almost impossible to do. Now, I want to remind you that we have a really, really good workshop for men with sexual integrity problems. It's April the 10th. Now, sometimes you hear about great men that fall because they get caught in an affair with pornography, stuff like that. I bet every one of them wishes they had done something about their problem the week before it all blew up. So why don't you do something about that problem before it all blows up? If someone finds something on your phone, it'd be great if you were able to say, yeah, I guess I didn't erase that because 6 months ago I got help for that problem looking at those inappropriate things. That'd be a great thing. You could do that. You could join us April the 10th by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's it, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, Dr. Alice Benton and myself are going to do another program right after this. You can join us, 1-800-229-3000. Now, I just want all of you to know that we're grateful for you. We love getting to do this every day. Tomorrow, my family, we're going to go fly out to California, and on Good Friday, we're going to conduct the graveside service for Dave's family, Dave Stoop and his family. And just pray for us and pray for them. The other Dr. Stoop in the family, his wife Jan, just one of the most amazing people ever. And, Dave was always so proud of his sons and who they had become. And they're there for Jan, and we're glad for that. Thank you for being part of New Life. Hope you have a great day today. Last day of March, isn't that something? Wow. Quarter of the year already gone. Well, not too late to start over. Make it the best year ever.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.